This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, scholars, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is indeed a great honor for me to be speaking here in the neighboring masjid. Now, because of circumstances, you speak in many other different locations. Sometimes you don't get a chance to speak at the masjid that is nearest to you. So it is a very happy occasion for me to speak in the neighboring masjid. May Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah. Also important for us to understand from the very beginning and from the very outset that speaking on occasions like this, whether it be the night of Ashura, whether it be the night of Mi'raj or Shab-e-Barat, the night of Barat, is not something that is a sunnah or it is compulsory. Ulama normally use it as an occasion to speak about and give lessons with regard to the occasion. And from there are many other lessons that you can give. As you will see that during the course of the talk, I will speak about various aspects, not only relating to the night, but other lessons that we can get. And at the end of the day, there is no restrictions to be able to speak on deen on any night, any day, whenever there is a chance, you get an opportunity, you speak. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind people, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Reminder is beneficial to the believers. There's no doubt, when we are human beings, we get tempted, we get influenced by the environment, but when someone speaks to us, when there is a work, speak of deen, someone speaks to us something that is motivating, we get inspired. Now Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah Ta'ala creates whatever He wishes and He chooses. So Allah Ta'ala chooses from amongst the days and nights which is more superior, which is more blessed. Now for you and I, we can't make a difference between an ordinary night and the night of Ashura. But you see, in Ashura we must keep in mind the day is blessed. So in many occasions during the course of the night when we speak about blessed days and nights, in Barat, it is Laylatul Barat, the night of 15th of Sha'ban, right? Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. But about Ashura, we don't say Laylat Ashura, we say Yawm-e Ashura. The day is blessed. Whereas in certain other occasions, the night is blessed. So in this situation, the day is blessed. However, Allah Ta'ala chooses. Allah Ta'ala created so many years in a night. Allah Ta'ala has given superiority of Laylatul Qadr over all other nights. Allah Ta'ala creates 7 days in the week. Allah Ta'ala has given superiority to Jummah over all other days in the week. In a similar manner, this aspects of blessedness is solely the prerogative of Allah. We can't make a decision. We go out tomorrow and go out Sunday, either look the day looks the same. So how do you make that it is blessed? Allah makes it. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. And then the month of Muharram is a blessed month. Nabi Karim s.a.w. said the best of rozas and fast to keep after Ramadan is the fast of Allah's month, the month of Muharram. And days, Nabi Karim s.a.w. has said in one hadith that there is no better roza to keep and fast to keep after the month of Ramadan than the fast in Muharram. Now out of all of those days in Muharram, while the whole month is blessed, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنَّ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, I have made 12 months, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. Four of those are sacred, and one of them is Muharram. Now what does it mean when Allah Ta'ala says one month is sacred? It means that whatever good you do in that month, Allah Ta'ala blesses you more. And whatever sin that you do, then that sin is more serious than in other months. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in Fazail al-Hajj has made mention of the statement of both Umar radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to go for Hajj, he used to have two camps. One camp in the haram, one camp out of the haram. Someone said, why are you staying in two places? He used to say that the haram, the place where the haram is, to commit guna there is just as every good deed is multiplied 100,000 times there, every evil and guna that you do there is also multiplied. So you should say, I find it more easier to do something 70 wrongs outside, 70 wrongs outside than to do one in the haram. So you used to keep two camps. One, you say, sometimes we are weak, so say, therefore I go stay once outside there most of the time, and if I only come to the haram when there is a need for me to come. So these are type of things that we have to keep in mind, the sacredness of the place, sacredness of a sitter. And then of course, out of the whole month of Muharram, the 10th is the most blessed. Various reasons for his blessedness. One, the greatest reason, Allah Ta'ala made it blessed. Really, many a times we have to say, Allah make it blessed. There are many things in our deen, we don't have to give a logical answer. Allah made it like that. Allah Ta'ala is, sometimes there is a logical answer, sometimes there is something, sometimes Allah made it. I always give this example. Many times people want to say, what is the wisdom in this? What is the wisdom in that? Allah made it such, we believe in it, we submit. The greatest aspect of our deen is to submit to Allah Ta'ala's command, whether you understand it or you don't understand it. There are many things we do. Sometimes the reasons for what we have, what it was done for, and now it is different. When you go for Hajj, and I've been to Hajj recently, and I used to tell the people that, see, we do Safa Marwa. And ask anyone, why you do Safa Marwa? I said, Hajra ran between mountain Makkah, Safa to Marwa, because there was no water. Right? That's why she ran. Like today, when you go between Makkah, Safa and Marwa, and you run between Bain Milayni Akhdarain, the two green lights, never mind that there is no water, there is water every 100 meters. The Saudi government has put so much water there, but you're running. She ran because there was no water. You going there, there is water there. So the original reason is not there, but why are you doing it? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. So many a times we do things because Allah Ta'ala's command is there. We eat with the right hand. We don't eat with the left hand. Right? Now you ask me, what is the logical reason for eating with the right hand? Is there any logical reason? There's no benefit, added benefit, other than Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, do everything of blessedness with the right hand. That's why we do it. So many a times it is out of submission we do things. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهُ لِلَّهِ Whose deen is better than the one who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The 10th of Muharram is blessed because Allah made it blessed. There are other reasons. One of the reasons is when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found that the Jews of Medina were keeping fast on that particular day. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that they are keeping fast because Allah Ta'ala delivered Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam from the tyranny and the oppression of Fir'aun on this day. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an amazing thing. He said, we are more worthy of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam than what they are. So we will also keep Roza on that day. Right? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, saw them. And this is a fact. We are more closer to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam than all other religions. We are more closer to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam than the Jews. Although they claim that he is a prophet. Wallahi al-Azim, we are more closer to Isa alayhi salatu wa salam than what the Christians are. We are more closer. And the reason is because we have followed the proper teachings of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. They made him the son of Allah Ta'ala. وقالت اليهود عزير ابن الله وقالت النصارى المسيح ابن الله ذلك قولهم بأفواههم. Allah Ta'ala says that is a falsehood that they have done such a thing. We believe that we are more closer to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam than the Christians. We are more closer than Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than the Jews. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, we will keep fast also on that day, because we are more worthy of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than what the Jews are. Look at what Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says in the third surah. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. Jews used to say Ibrahim alayhi salam is our prophet. He said the Christians used to say is our prophet. Allah Ta'ala says he's not a Yahudi, he's not a Christian, he is a Hanifa Muslima. He is a Muslim who submitted his will to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his almost entire time in Medina keeping the fast on the 10th of Muharram. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last came to know that they keep one fast, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Khaliful Yahud, go against them. And next year, if I'm alive, maybe Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that he might not be alive. Next year, if I'm alive, I will keep fast on the 9th or add another to the 10th, either the 9th or the 11th. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself only kept on the 10th. But he did say and indicate that if I'm alive the next year, I will keep on the 9th or the 11th. So this is what, we learn about a very great, great lesson. You know, I always tell people, in something that we believe in, is our belief, that, you know, we are very, Islam is a very distinctive religion, very, very sensitive about its distinctive identity. Doesn't want to be in any way that it must be mixed with other religions, or there is a situation that you feel that there is something that is grey. No, this is Islam. Islam is distinctive. لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Oh people, don't mix haq, falsehood with truth. Truth must be distinct from falsehood. So you find this many a times. You see, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, when He normally addresses the believers, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. When Allah Ta'ala want to address believers and disbelievers, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Right? Very seldom will you find that Allah Ta'ala has addressed the disbelievers directly by kafirun. Only one instance maybe. Huh? Otherwise, normally when Allah Ta'ala addresses believers and disbelievers, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Many times, oh people, look at this view. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Oh human being, what has deceived you from your merciful Allah? الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ, who created you and fashioned you in such a beautiful manner. Look at the whole aspect of your body. How Allah Ta'ala created it and how Allah Ta'ala fashioned it. I sometimes say, think about this, right? In those places of the parts of the body where it is beneficial for something to grow and it is aesthetically pleasing, Allah allows it to grow. Those other aspects with regard to the growing, if it grows, it is harmful to you or it is unsightly, Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow it to grow. Allah doesn't allow the eyebrow to grow. Otherwise, we would have had more accidents. Huh? If the eyebrow would have, okay, what would have happened? As we have so many accidents in South Africa, we would have had more accidents. Right? The teeth only goes to a certain extent, doesn't grow beyond it. Otherwise, how we would have been able to chew? Huh? How we would have been able to close our mouth? Huh? But there are certain parts of the body that Allah Ta'ala allows the hair in the hair, on the head, Allah Ta'ala allows it to grow. The hair and the beard, Allah Ta'ala allows it to grow. Huh? Because it is not unsightly, it is beautiful. So the beard grows and then sometimes you have to cut it. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day saw a person who was very, very unsightly. And he was very, very, you know, unkempt, dirty, and not neat. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look at how you're looking. Why don't you go and make yourself, you know, keep yourself neat. So he went and he cut his hair and he came everything and he came back and Nabi Akram said, isn't this better than what you were before? Inna Allah Jamil yuhibbul jamal. Allah Ta'ala is beautiful, Allah Ta'ala loves beauty. So where we made mention with regard to it, Allah Ta'ala allows certain things to grow and Allah Ta'ala. So this was particular aspect with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the, so we are saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. And here only one place where there is a distinction. When the Quraysh came to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one different riwayats, you worship our idols, we will worship Allah. One riwayat say, put your hand over our idols. Put your hand over our idols, we will become Muslims. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. O disbelievers, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَبُدُ. We don't worship what you worship. And we don't expect you in your present state of mind to worship what we are worshiping. So there Allah Ta'ala made a clear distinction because there was an aspect that perhaps people could have confused the haq and the batil. Islam is very, very sensitive about its distinctive identity. Huh? We know there are three times in the day that we don't read namaz. Right? One is zawal, one is sunrise, one is sunset. For various reasons. One again, that always I tell you, because Allah Ta'ala told us. Allah Ta'ala told us don't read that time. So we don't read. But there is one other reason the ulama have given is this, that the people who worship the sun, they worship that time. I read somewhere recently, even the people who do certain degrees in certain aspects of meditation, they go and meditate with the sun, they go and meditate exactly at that time. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't worship at that time. Perhaps people will think that there is a resemblance between you and those who worship the sun. So because of that, don't even read namaz. Huh? Don't even read salat. So this, we are very, you know, therefore when Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum, he who imitates a nation become one of them. It's not only a moral guidance, it's an objective reality. When you imitate a nation in one thing, progressively you will start imitating them in other things also. Therefore, imitation is something that is so serious. You know, sometimes I've got a, Allah Ta'ala has given me the stuff with regard to reading, so you get to read a lot. So Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a kitab, one of the rectors of Darul Uloom Deoband. So he has written a kitab, At-Tashabbu Fil Islam. So in there he has written the whole aspect with regard to imitation. There are different stages of imitation. Some is completely disbelief, some is haram, some is makruh, some is mubah. You know, some is not haram. I'll just give you an example. You know, being on time, now in today's time, we know that we as Muslims, we're not on time. Huh? It's an unfortunate part, but we're not on time. We say Indian standard time. No, there is this one whole aspect, one day in Mumbai, that now these things are a little bit better. But that time the trains used to come very late. So one day the train came on time in the Bombay train station. So everyone got very happy. The train came on time, only to realize it was yesterday's train. So this is something. Now, if, for example, they are more appreciative of keeping the appointments, and you also said, no, let me also be keeping my appointments and keeping my time, does it mean it's tashabbuh? Does it mean you're imitating them? No, that is not imitation. Imitation means different things. So there's different stages of imitation. But one is a very amazing thing I read is that when the ulama of the past, when they said, where must we place tashabbuh in terms of chapters? He said, place the chapter of tashabbuh in Babul Irtidad, in the broad category of turning against Islam, apostasy against Islam. And the reason they say, when you start imitating a nation in certain things, then progressively you can even go and imitate them in their thought pattern. So sometimes it could be that you're only imitating them in dress, then in their way of living, then in their way of eating. Which of course there is different classes and categories. I don't say everything is prohibited and haram. But if you slowly go that way, imitation can take you even into a very, very serious state. Huh? Ibn Battuta went to Spain at the end of the rule, Muslim rule in Spain. Now initially, Muslims didn't imitate others. Other people used to imitate Muslims. Why? Because Muslims were in power. You always imitate a nation and civilization that is strong. Like today we imitate the West because the West is influential. So they have got influence. When Muslims were powerful, the non-Muslims used to imitate Muslims. And that is why certain, you will see, and some of the non-Muslims make an objection against it. They say that Muslims used to have non-Muslims addressing in a particular color. Because they used to imitate the Muslims, you couldn't distinguish between Muslims and non-Muslims. Nevertheless, what I'm trying to say, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even in our ibadat, we have to be careful with regard to imitation. So this particular aspect with regard to making dua, fasting on 10th of Muharram, was Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first, before Roza became farz in Islam, it was farz to keep Roza on the 10th. After Ramadan became farz, kutiba alaykum usiyam, then it was optional. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept it, and then towards the end, he made mention with regard to it that if next year, if I'm alive, I will add one more. Right? So these are the different classifications with regard to it. That it is ideal that you keep two, but it is also permitted to keep one on the basis that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept on the 10th, most of his life. But that ideal is to keep two because that was Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's preference. After understanding this, one aspect that comes to mind, always people bring it up, the matram of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Right? Now it's very important for us to understand. that Ashura is not blessed because of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu on this day. Ashura was blessed from the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 10th of Muharram is blessed from the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was 50 years before the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the first thing for us to understand, it is not blessed because of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, it could be, Allah knows best, that Allah chose this blessed day for his martyrdom. Allah Ta'ala chose this blessed day for his martyrdom. So it could be that, rather than saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is blessed because of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. First thing, it because it was blessed from the time of Nabi Akram s.a.w. Second thing, let me make mention with regard to it. We are not a nation which has got few heroes. We are a nation that got many heroes, and many people have sacrificed their life in the path of Allah Ta'ala for the sake of Islam. I mean, look at how many martyrs there are in our history. And great, great martyrs. So we don't take the day and to mark the day as a day of mourning because someone was martyred on that day. Because if we do so, perhaps there would not be any day in that year in which some Muslim, some great person did not pass away. And we are not a nation of perpetual mourners. We don't perpetually mourn. What is the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It's not permissible for anyone to mourn the death of anyone more than 3 days. Huh? You don't mourn the death of anyone more than 3 days. After that, you carry on, because the life is such, we have to carry on with our life. There is going to be sadness, but official mourning or an official period of mourning, three days and three nights. So we're not a nation of perpetual mourners. We have to, yes, we will feel it. People who are closer will feel it more, but officially after three days, there is no official mourning per se. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. If we're going to start mourning the death of great people in the past, the whole year we will start mourning. And there are such great people. Who is Sayyidu Shuhada? Who is the greatest of all shaheeds? Who is it? Hamza. Huh? Nabi Karim SAW said, Sayyidu Shuhada ya Hamza. We don't even know the date in which Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was martyred. Huh? So if you have to mourn someone, you would have mourned the death of Sayyidu Shuhada. And another very great, you know, I always make mention of this, something that I always find very intriguing. That person dying in the path of Allah Ta'ala for us is an honor. It's not a mourning or a sadness. وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَا يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَى. Don't say the person who is assassinated in the path of Allah is dead. بَلَا أَحْيَى. He is alive. But you can't understand or perceive his life. So, and then that particular aspect, you see, a person who is martyred, he's a success. He is successful. Irrespective of whether you gain physical victory in the battle or not. Ye bhi sochne ki baat hai, think about this. Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of all the martyrs, came from a battle in which Muslims didn't gain victory. Sayyidu Shuhada is from a battle in which Muslims suffered a defeat and a setback. But he is Sayyidu Shuhada. He is the leader of all the Shuhada. But from which battle? A battle in which Muslims didn't gain victory. So whether you gain victory or not, and you are a martyr, you are still successful. Whoever fights in the path of Allah, whether he is killed or he gains victory, فَسَوْفَ نُوْتِي أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala will give him a reward, says Allah in the fifth surah of the Quran. So the 10th of Muharram is not blessed because of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because it happened 50 years before the blessedness was announced. Secondly, we don't mourn the death of anyone, you know, because if you do so, then every day in that calendar will be a day of mourning. And even Sayyidu Shuhada, we don't mourn that day. So we don't make this, the 10th of Muharram, into a day of mourning. Now, however, Allah Ta'ala did choose this day for the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Although it's not because of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, it's natural. That when a person passes away, and a person like the grandson of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we talk about it. There's nothing wrong in talking about it. You can talk about Hussein radiallahu ta'ala any time in the year. It's not compulsory that you talk about it on this particular day or on the eve of Ashura. But now, everyone today is talking, they know that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu was martyred on this day. So let us talk a little bit about his life. And what is amazing is we know more about Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu because of his martyrdom. But we don't know about his life. Very few people will know about the life of Hussain radiallahu anhu. So we use this opportunity sometimes to speak about the life of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu. Hassan Hussain radiallahu anhu, my dear respected brothers, very special people to us. Wallahi al-Azim, sometimes you feel, and maybe not times you feel, it's the reality. They are more closer to us and more beloved to us than even our own grandchildren and our own children. Sayyidu Shura, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the leaders of the youth on the day of Qiyamah will be Hassan and Hussein. Sayyida Shababi Ahli Jannah Al-Hassan wal Hussein. Hussein radiallahu anhu was born in the fourth year after Hijri. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the two Hassan and Hussein tremendously. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa himself made aqiqah for them, you know. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa used to make dua for them, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa told us the duas to be read, you know, for protection. And he read for them and he told, make, these are the duas read by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam for his children. You also read these duas. And part of that, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa loved them. Hussein minni wa ana min al Hussein. I'm from Hussein and Hussein from me. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa Abu Huraira said, one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking with Hassan Hussein on his back. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he told us, Sahaba, I love them. And he made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, love those who love them. And Ya Allah, distance yourself from those who distance themselves from Hassan and Hussein. We must never make the mistake. Never make the mistake that because the Shia say that they love the Ahlul Bayt, but they don't love them in a proper manner. Because in the love for the Ahlul Bayt, they swear the Sahaba. We Ahlul Sunnat wal Jamaat, on one hand we catch the Sahaba, and on one hand we catch the Ahlul Bayt. We love both. They, in the profess love for the Ahlul Bayt, they rebuke the Sahaba and they reject the Sahaba. That is not Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. That is what our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. We love the Ahlul Bayt and we love the Sahaba. And loving the Ahlul Bayt is part of Ahlul Sunnah, is not part of Rafi, is not part of Shiism. To love the Ahlul Bayt is part of our tradition. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he said a very beautiful, you know, in kana rifdan hubbi Ali Muhammad. In kana rifdan huf, we must understand this properly in a context. Don't misquote this. If being a Shia or a Ravzi is to love Ahlul Bayt, then let the world know I'm the first Ravzi. But being Ravzi is not that, because they abuse and swear the Sahaba. And whoever swears the Sahaba cannot be on success. He's not on the right path. But that doesn't mean that because we have a difference of opinion with them, we reject the Ahlul Bayt. We love the Ahlul Bayt. We are the people who are more closer to the Ahlul Bayt, as Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are more closer to Musa alayhi salam than the Jews. We are more closer to Isa alayhi salatu wa salam than the Christians. We are more closer to the Ahlul Bayt than what the Shias are. Because we are the ones who take on the true teachings. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know the incidents. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was sitting in the minbar when Hassan and Hussein came into the masjid. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see, they were toddlers that time. They were very small. So they came very, like, you know, stumbling among. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't take it. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got off the minbar, went to take them and went to hug them and brought them back and set them next to the minbar. And that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how Allah Ta'ala had said truthfully, innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Your wealth and your children are a trial. These children are a trial, especially the grandchildren. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them, and when he said this and he put them next to the minbar, he said, your wealth and your children. He related his grandchildren to be his own children. Your children are a trial. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another hadith says that your children, you know, susu ta'at, they take away your good deeds. The love for the children take away your good deeds. Sometimes for the love of the children, you actually, you know, you go and do things that are wrong. And it happens. So Allah Ta'ala tells us that be careful with regard to the love, that while you love them, don't make the love of your children make you disobedient to Allah Ta'ala. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. One of the most amazing incidents about Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, I read in this one kitab of Muhammad Ali As-Sa'labi. Muhammad Ali Sa'labi has written very beautiful books on Sahaba. And you go to, you know, you go to the Haramain, you go to the bookstores, you will find all his books. He's written on all the four Khalifa. He's written on Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's written on Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali. He's written on Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala. So in this one, you know, he read this one when he spoke about Hassan and Hussein. He said Marwan was the governor of Medina. Marwan was the governor of Medina. So when he was the governor of Medina, he came to Abu Huraira. And one day Abu Huraira was resting in his room. So he came and said, Abu Huraira, I'm the governor. Now there was always a little bit of rivalry between the Umayyads and the Bani Hashim, right? The family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Marwan came to Abu Huraira and said, Abu Huraira, you don't show me regard the way you show regard to Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. Now they had grown up. So Abu Huraira was resting. So when he was resting and Marwan told him, Abu Huraira got up and said, Marwan, don't you dare speak about those two people, those two children, those two grandchildren of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, do you know why I love them? Do you know why I show regard to them? He said, one day we were in an expedition. We went out in jihad and Hazrat Hassan and Hussein was crying in the tent. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam couldn't bear their crying. So he burst into the tent and said, Fatima, why are they crying? Why are my children crying? You know? So Fatima said, it's beyond my control. There is no water. There is no water. Therefore, he cried. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put Hassan and Hussein on his lap, took out his tongue, made them suck his tongue to be able to give them, maybe Allah Ta'ala put something in it, Allah knows, to be able to quench their thirst. Took his tongue out and told Hassan Hussein, suck my tongue to be able to satiate your thirst. Marwan, do you know why I like them? This is the reason why I like them. This is the reason why I have love for them. Because this is what I saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his love was not someone that only loved them. He made tarbiyat of them. We all know that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say that sadaqah is permissible for the general ummah, not permissible for my own family. So one day there was dates of sadaqah, which Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, one of them, put in his mouth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take it out. He forced it out of their mouth. He said, not permissible for you. This is also amazing. Today we talk about nepotism. Everyone who is in power, they want their own children to benefit. Our Nabi was different. Our Nabi, wherever there was time for sacrifice, he put the family first. And ever there was time to benefit, this family was last. Huh? There was no heir. We all got estates. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wealth was not distributed amongst his family. Huh? That was a point of difference between Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Fatima. And when Hazrat Fatima came with regard to the land in Fadak, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, there's a hadith of your beloved father that there is no inheritance of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to Baytul Mal. And this was always the way of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You also, any sadaqah, the people of the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cannot have it. Subhanallah. Whenever there was sacrifice, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put himself first. And he put the sahaba first. I mean, he put his family first. In the battle of Badr, who did he send? In the battle called Halm al-Mubariz, there must be individual combats. Who did he send? Sent his uncle, Hazrat Hamza. Sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to fight. Huh? In the battle of Khandaq, Amr bin Abdiwud, the most famous warrior in Arabia, they say he was equivalent to 100 warriors, came over the trench and said, who is going to compete with me? Who is going to compete with me? So first, you know, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I will compete with him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ali, you are young. You are not a seasoned warrior. He's a seasoned warrior. Sit down. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will go and fight with Ibn Wud? Again, Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I will go. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sit down. He's more seasoned. You are still young. Ali radiallahu anhu was just maybe in his mid-20s. Sit down. Ya Rasulullah, allow me to go. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him. And then there was such a fierce battle that the whole battle was covered in dust. They were seeing from both sides. The Quraysh were seeing from there, the enemies, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims were seeing, but they couldn't see anything because there was such a fierce battle that the whole battle was covered in sand and dust. And then they heard Ali رضي الله عنه said, قتل عدو الله, I have killed the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always put his family first. Whenever there was sacrifice, he put, we are unlike ourselves, we put our family people back. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his grandchildren a lot, but he also was very, very loved grandchildren. We always say that there's a saying someone sent to me when I had my first grandchild. You know, they said, grandchildren fill a space in your heart which you never knew was empty. Grandchildren fill a space in your heart which you never knew was empty. And you know, once you become a grandfather, you will realize it. I said, so this is something that we, but yet, one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, saw that she had put new curtains and there were silver bracelets on the hands of Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked away from there. Didn't enter the house. Walked away from there. So when he walked away from there, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala said, my father came and he walked away. What happened? Send someone. Why did you walk away? Oh Fatima, this is not our ways. We are not given to a life of luxury like this. Huh? And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took away that silver bracelets from Hazrat Hassan and Hussein and gave it to the poor people. Give it to someone else. The family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not given to live a life of luxury. That's why they became shaheed. Because this was a tarbiyat of the grandfather. The grandfather gave them such tarbiyat. And he brought them up in such a manner. So if he was born on the fourth year after Hijri, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the 11th, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Hazrat Hussein was 7 years of age. But even in that, there are two narrations that are mentioned in the books of hadith from Hazrat Hussein. From the time of 7 years, he narrated two hadith that are made mention in the books of hadith. One of them is very amazing. When I read that as a hadith, I said, Achim. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that a beggar has a right over you, even if he comes to you with a horse. Now that time to be a horse as a conveyance means you got some sort of wealth. But people who used to be less fortunate in wealth, they used to be on a camel. So Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu has one hadith that a beggar has a right upon you even if he comes to you with a horse. Now, of course, we have to be careful and be discretionary because sometimes there are beggars who come to you for real and sometimes not for real. But I'm just giving you the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing away, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman always had the greatest regard for Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. One day after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing away, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Hussein and Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, we all know, they say when they used to stand together, he used to picture Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The upper body of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu, the upper body of Hassan used to resemble Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lower portion and the way of walking of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala used to resemble Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The upper portion of the body of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala and the lower portion of the body and the walking of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be that of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So after, you know, when one day Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala came out with his two children after Asr, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala saw them. And he told Hazrat Ali, oh Ali, these two resemble Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than what they resemble you. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a nana. You were the father, but he resembled. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu smiled. They had such great muhabbat between them. This particular aspect that you know, that they was, the way the Shias portray is completely false, man. That the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, they had tension. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to have so much love for Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. He used to tell them, anytime you need anything, you come to me. One day Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala came and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was sitting in consultation with Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and he went away. And on the, you know, from the corner of his eye, he saw him, called him back again afterwards. You came and you went away. Amirul Mumineen, you were sitting in consultation and you were very in serious discussion. I wouldn't want to disturb you. Umar said, oh my son, next time you come, even if I'm busy, you tell me. You always, I will give you preference. You are the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What great love they had. And we all know the very famous incident that from the Baytul Mal, Umar radiallahu anhu used to give him 5,000 dirhams for Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. 5,000 dirhams. 5,000 dirhams. The greatest, the highest rank So his son Abdullah ibn Umar used to get 1,000. So one day Abdullah ibn Umar said, "Oh my father, this is that doesn't seem to be fair. You're giving me 1,000, you're giving them 5,000. So Umar radiallahu anhu rebuked them. Rebuked Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, "How dare you ask me these questions? The mother was Fatima. Is your mother Fatima? She is Sayyidun Nisa ya Ahlil Jannah. The grandfather is Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is your grandfather Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?" And then Umar radiallahu anhu went on to give the distinction over Abdullah ibn Umar. He gave them so much of regard. When Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, "I heard a person saying," when Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, "I heard a person saying, 'Oh Umar, may Allah have mercy upon you.' Whenever I heard Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking, his manner of speaking was, 'Dakhaltu ana Abu Bakr wa Umar, kharajtu ana Abu Bakr wa Umar.' Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we went here. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we did this. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we went to do this task. I was sure that when you pass away, you are going to be buried with Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "I looked behind to see who was saying these words. It was not Ali, then Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was praising Umar with these words. In the time of Usman radiallahu ta'ala, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala were not like elitists. 'We are the children of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not going to do anything.' Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala took part in the three major battles in the time of Usman radiallahu ta'ala, major conquest. The conquest of North Africa, Tripoli, in Libya, under the commandership of Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Sarah." One day I'll tell you about Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Sarah. We don't have time. I want to finish by 8:30. You know, what an amazing... Hussein radiallahu anhu took part in the conquest of Tripoli in Libya. And he also, after that, when they gained victory over there, he came back to Medina. He went to take part in the battle and the jihad in Khorasan, where all this Uzbekistan and Central Asian republics is. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu took part in that. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu also took part in the first, you know, among the Sahaba, the first attacking of Constantinople, which is today Istanbul. So this again, thinking that Aliyadu Billah, that Hazrat Hassan and Hussein were against the Sahaba, they took part in the battles with the Sahaba. They used to take part in the battles. So this was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's time. Thereafter, in the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, we all know it was a time of great amount of, ya Allah, great amount of turmoil, civil war. But Hassan and Hussein were very close to Ali radiallahu ta'ala. They took part in by battle of Jamal, battle of Siffin. They even took part against the Khawarij. Sometimes I always tell the people to realize our history. The Khawarij were not disbelievers. They were not kafirs. They were extremists. And sometimes people say, when you used to see the ibadat, you would regard your ibadat to be inferior. But they were the people who were made fitna in the ummah. They called everyone kafirs. And there are many, many amazing incidents with regard to them. They killed the son of Khabbab ibn Arf. They were taking him and they asked him, "Who do you follow?" They said, "Ali radiallahu anhu." Said Ali radiallahu anhu made kufr. So they made Ali radiallahu anhu a kafir, aliyadu billah. So they took Khabbab, and while they were taking him to execute him, the son of Abdullah ibn Khabbab, I think it was Khabbab ibn Arf, right? So they were taking him to execute him, and on the way they found a wild boar, and they killed the boar, right? It was a wild boar, a wild pig, and they killed it. And afterwards they asked themselves the question, and they said, "This particular animal belonged to a non-Muslim. How could we kill it? We did something wrong." And they wanted to go and ask, you know, forgiveness to that non-Muslim of which that animal was in his land. And then they went to go and kill the son of Khabbab ibn Arf. And this is sometimes the aspect with regard to extremism. That on one hand, you were so careful of killing an animal, but yet at the same time, you were killing the son of a Sahabi. And Ali radiallahu anhu made jihad against them, killed 12,000 of them. Killed 12,000 of the extremists, the Khawarij. So this Khawarij extremism is not necessarily always, you know, a boon, but it's something that we have to keep in mind with regard to our history. So Ali radiallahu anhu, and when Ali radiallahu anhu was leaving Medina to go to Basra, because that time Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu, Talha, and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu were Basra,
Said Hassan radiallahu anhu always had an inclination towards peace. So Hassan radiallahu anhu, you know, pleaded with Ali, don't go. And Ali radiallahu anhu says, see, look at the circumstances. I have to go. I'm the Khalifa. I've been appointed the Khalifa. There is a rebellion that is brewing there. I need to go and see it. Unfortunately, you know, in history, we have to say that the greatest tragedy is not when Haq fights Batil. That is always going to happen. The greatest tragedy in history is when right and truth fights truth. And that's what happened in Jamal and Siffin. Sahaba fought Sahaba. 30,000 Sahaba were martyred in the battle of Jamal and Siffin. And it's one of the greatest sad parts in our history, tragic. And that also happened because of the Munafiqs. They were on the verge of coming to an agreement. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu went, and Talha and Zubair radiallahu anhu, for the battle of Jamal, they reached an agreement. Tomorrow we're going to sign the agreement. The Munafiqs and the hypocrites, and many will say the Shias, right? They were the ones, Abdullah ibn Sabah and his group. They said, if this peace treaty is going to take place, we are going to be found out. So what they did in the night, one group went to attack that group, one group went to attack this group, and they created a fight. So anyway, that was another aspect with regard to it. Then of course, after that came Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu's time. After Ali radiallahu anhu, 6 months, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu was a Khalifa, and he completed what Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, the Khulafa'i Rashidun, in 30 years. The 30 years ended with the 6 months of the Khilafat of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. But then Hassan radiallahu anhu did an amazing thing. He made peace with Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. had indicated this. Nabi Karim s.a.w. one day said to Hassan, this son of mine is a Sayyid, he's a leader. He's a leader. Because of him, two great group of Muslims will come together. Now look at what Nabi Karim s.a.w. said. Shias called them, you know, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's army is, we are very careful about Sahaba. Never ever lift your tongue against the Sahaba. You leave history to what has happened, but you don't say anything against the Sahaba. Our ulama have said a very amazing thing. We don't judge Sahaba by history. We judge Sahaba by the Quran and Hadith. And what does the Quran and Hadith say? Ashabi kal nujum. My Sahaba are like stars, whomsoever you follow, you'll be on the right path. Radiallahu anhum wa radhu an. Allah is happy with them, they are happy with Allah. We don't judge Sahaba by history. Historical narrations, you'll get different. So this is a mistake that we do. We want to judge Sahaba by history. In fact, it must be the other way around. We judge history by Sahaba. Let me say this again. We don't judge Sahaba by history. We judge history by Sahaba. That history which speaks about them in accordance to the way Allah and His Rasul spoke about them. We accept that history. That history which speaks about them against what Allah and His Rasul has said about them, we reject that history. So we judge history by Sahaba, we don't judge Sahaba by history. So then of course this whole aspect happened. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu created, you know, accepted. And this peace treaty, because of that, accepting the peace treaty, then there was, you know, complete peace between the Muslims. For 27 years Hazrat Muawiyah ruled. One of the greatest time in our history. So much of glorious barakah, financially, materially, in terms of conquest, Muslims went to which and which place. It paved the way for the conquest of India, Pakistan. The first naval expedition happened in the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. How could the enemies see that? So they started creating all types of fitna. Anyway, after that, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, we can go on giving a lot of, you know, details about history, but I'm trying to keep it short. After 27 years, Hazrat Muawiyah on his deathbed appointed his son Yazid as his Khalifa. Now, why did he do so? Because one of the reasons ulama have made mention that he had seen the fitna that happened after Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, when Sahaba fought. And he was very keen to stop it. And of course, the fear was that if he doesn't appoint someone, that particular fitna could start rising again. So he made his son Yazid the Khalifa. And he paved the way for it. Most of the people had accepted Yazid as the Khalifa in his lifetime. There were a few Sahaba that didn't. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Right? All of them, by and large, after the passing of Muawiyah, they accepted beside few. Right? One of them was Abdullah ibn Zubair, and some of them was Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. So the governor of Medina asked Hazrat Hussein that you also pledge allegiance. So Hussein said, give me time to think about it. And that particular night, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu went to Makkah. When he went to Makkah, the people of Kufa called Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu and said, you become here and you become the Khalifa. So Hussein radiallahu anhu received so many letters, all hundreds of letters to come to Kufa. So Hussein radiallahu anhu felt that I must go to Kufa. And one of the reasons, Hazrat Mufti Razaul Aksab in his kitab Badrul Majhul has written, that Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was not happy with the precedent of appointing a son to become the ruler after a person. He said, if that particular tradition continues, it might go against the sunnat of Nabi Karim sallam and the sunnat of the Shaykhain, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar. So he felt he was not happy with it. He was not satisfied with it. So he decided to go to Kufa. Before he went to Kufa, he sent his cousin Muslim bin Aqil, that you go and see what's happening in Kufa. Muslim bin Aqil, the cousin of Hussein radiallahu anhu, went. I'm always saying this, be very careful. This was, you know, as far as we are concerned, between Hazrat Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhu, we don't say anything against both of them. Although we say Ali radiallahu anhu was on haqq, right? He was closer to the truth. And Ali radiallahu anhu was closer to the truth than Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. But we don't say anything against Muawiyah because it was an ijtihad. It was an exertion of trying to find the truth. In a similar manner, when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu went to Kufa, some of the Sahaba, they tried to discourage him. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas went to this extent and said, oh Hussein, if I had the ability, I would have stopped you from going. But Hussein was an ijtihad on himself. He was a mujtahid. He had the right to make that particular type of ijtihad. So he went to Kufa. On the way, Muslim bin Aqil, when he came to Kufa, the people of Kufa, because a cousin of Hussein and they had called him, they all rallied around him. And when they rallied around him, first there was 12,000, then there was 18,000, and then up to one riwayat said 30,000 people made bet upon him. And then there was a governor by the name of, I think his name was Nu'man ibn Bashir. Then they changed. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad came. And Ubaidullah bin Ziyad played a very negative role in this whole thing. So he was made the governor of Kufa. So when he was made the governor of Kufa, and there's also a very wrong riwayat how he came, you know, deceptively into Kufa. There's one riwayat that when he came, people thought that Hussein is coming because Muslim bin Aqil said, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu has followed me. And then he came and he made zulam. And then, you know, when Hussein radiallahu anhu was on his way to Kufa, he met the famous poet Farazdak, and he asked them about the people of Kufa. And Farazdak gave a very amazing reply. He said, the hearts and emotions of the people of Kufa are with you, but the sword is with the governor. The hearts and emotions are with you, but the swords are with the person who is in control over them. And Ubaidullah bin Ziyad came and he started making zulam upon them. And then they all turned. 30,000 people turned against the entire thing. And a Muslim bin Aqil was left without any support. After 30,000 people made better for him. And he went into the house of Hani bin Urwa. And Ubaidullah bin Ziyad then eventually came, and it's amazing that the son of Hani bin Urwa went to go and, you know, betray Muslim bin Aqil by telling the governor. And the governor arrested Muslim bin Aqil, and he met someone and he said, please send a message to Hussein radiallahu anhu not to come. Right? So Hussein radiallahu anhu was almost on the way to Kufa when Muslim bin Aqil's message came. And Muslim bin Aqil was taken on top of the highest building in Kufa, I think the governor house, and he was thrown down and he achieved martyrdom. So they got the message, but Hussein radiallahu anhu said that, let me go. Now the incident is very, very long. I don't want to go into the entire incident, and sometimes it's very emotional, you know, and it's a very sad and tragic part of our history. So Hussein radiallahu anhu went. And when he went there, you know, he felt that he would perhaps, you know, be able to change them, remind them about what they had called him for, and perhaps set up the Khilafat or whatever he had in mind. Allah Ta'ala knows with regard to it. And then Hussein radiallahu anhu was surrounded. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad then surrounded him, and he gave a way out. So Umar bin Sa'd, the son of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, was the general of the army. So Umar bin Sa'd when he stopped Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu and he didn't allow him and restricted his movement, so Hussein radiallahu anhu said, give me three options. Allow me to go back to where I came from. I came back from Makkah, allow me to go back to Makkah. Allow me to go to Damascus, and I will go and speak to Yazid myself. Allow me to go and sort out my matter with Yazid. Or allow me to go to the nearest place where the Muslims are fighting with the non-Muslims. Instead of me fighting with Muslims, I will go and fight with the non-Muslims. I will go and make jihad with the non. So Umar bin Saad wrote to Ubaidullah bin Ziyad and said, Allah Ta'ala has extinguished the fires of war. This is such beautiful way that we can stop the war. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu has given these three options. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad was about to accept it when Shimr bin Jawshan, one of the greatest enemies, and the person who did the greatest, one of the greatest harms, and he was amongst the ones who martyred Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, said, don't accept him. We got Hussein under our grip. Why should we allow him to go? So he didn't allow this also to come to fruition. And then towards the end, there was this whole particular aspect of the war. 72 people against thousands. And initially, what amazing, the 10th of Muharram, it was a Friday, according to one riwayat, it was a Wednesday, but the more favored riwayat is that it was a Friday. And on that particular day, 72 against thousands. And initially, when there was individual combats, these 72 were out fighting the thousands. And then Shimr bin Jawshan said that, no, we can't allow them to fight individually. If we fight individually, they will defeat us. 72 will defeat thousands. And then they continued fighting. And then they made a collective attack on Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And when they collectively, then of course it became difficult. And Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, Ahlul Bayt lost many people on that particular day. Yeah? Ulama have written that out of the 72 people, 6 children of Ali radiallahu ta'ala were martyred. 6 children of Ali radiallahu ta'ala were martyred. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was 5 brothers. From different mothers, than Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu's 3 children, Qasim, Abu Bakr, and I think it was Muhammad. Qasim, when he was being martyred, he called out to his uncle Hazrat Hussein. He said, "Umma, uncle, help me." So Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked upon him and said, "Oh my nephew, I hope I could have helped you. Today I am helpless to help you. I don't have the ability to help you." The 2 children of Aqil ibn Abi Talib, 36 people of the Ahlul Bayt were martyred in the plains of Karbala. 36. Eventually, there was a 2-year-old son. Hussein radiallahu anhu wanted to see his 2-year-old son, feeling that they will not harm the 2-year-old son. His name was Abdullah. So even 2 children of Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred. Many of us don't even know these things. And it's something that we need to know. And that's perhaps the reason why I felt that I will make mention of it. So this 2-year-old son, Abdullah, was on the lap of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu when someone deliberately, one is that, a 2-year-old son gets caught up in crossfire. And one is when deliberately someone fires an arrow at a 2-year-old child. An arrow came and hit him on the throat. So Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu took his blood out and said, "Ya Allah, you judge between us. As long as you are not angry and we don't earn your wrath, we accept whatever you have, decided and decreed for us." Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha one day came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, and brought Hassan Hussein and said, "Oh my father, make dua for these 2 children of mine." So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said an amazing thing. He said, "I made dua, and Allah will give leadership to Hazrat Hassan, and Allah will give generosity and courage to Hussein. I made dua for this 2 children." And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had foretold that. In Musnad al-Bazzar there is a hadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the ummah and said, "My grandchild will fight in Iraq. Whoever can go and assist him, go and assist him." Umm Salma radiallahu anha said that it happened, I think maybe, when one day she saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting up from a dream, at the time of Qailula, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very restless. "Ya Rasulullah, what happened?" "Allah Ta'ala showed me. Allah Ta'ala showed me that my ummah has killed my grandchild, Hazrat Hussein. And I can see the dust of that particular place where he was was killed. It was red in color. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu saw a dream after Zawal on that particular day that Nabi Akram sallallahu was very perturbed. He was carrying the bell of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And we are Rasulullah, what happened? The Ummah has martyred Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So, and when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and they went back and they said exactly at that time he was martyred, there's a time when he saw the dream. So this happened, you know, Allah Ta'ala knows with regard to it. We take great lesson. For us, as far as we are concerned, the people in this world, after few years after they martyred Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, there was a person by the name of Mukhtar bin Ubaid al-Thaqafi. He went on a rampage and he said, everyone who was responsible for the martyrdom of Hussein, I will catch them and I will kill them. And he went and he killed all of them. So that retaliation took place here in this world. As far as the year after is concerned, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. Now Ustad Mufti Wali Sun Sab Rahmatullah Ali one day told us an amazing thing. He said, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Oh Allah, I love to be killed in the path of Allah Ta'ala. I love to become shaheed. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's desire was, and that particular dua did not transpire the way we would normally understand a dua to be accepted, because that would have been the direct result of that. But my Ustad Mufti Wali Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Ali told us one day, he said, you know, when someone close to you die, it is like as if you are your own children. So he said, in that particular way, it was like the acceptance of the dua of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that his grandchild passed away in the path of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَا يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Never say those people who are killed in the path of Allah Ta'ala that they are dead. They're always alive. But you can't perceive their life. The people who die in the path of Allah Ta'ala, their rank is very great. It comes in one hadith that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before the first blood of a martyr reaches the ground, Allah Ta'ala forgives him. Before the first blood. Before. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one hadith, and I will conclude with this, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala, you know, on the day of Qiyamah will tell the shaheed, will give him a special rank. And Allah will tell the shaheed, ask me whatever you want, I will give you. And the shaheed will say, Allah, you have given us everything. What is there else to give us? You have given us Jannat. In Jannat there is everything. And Allah Ta'ala will ask them again, what do you want? You know what the shaheed will say? Oh Allah, the pleasure we got in sacrificing our life in this world, send us back in the world to achieve and to attain that pleasure. People who are shaheed in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they are not dead. Oh Allah, send us back to achieve that particular pleasure. And whenever we feel weak with regard to complying with the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then the example of Hussein radiallahu anhu was coming to our mind to keep us steadfast. Allama Iqbal had said, Islam zinda hota hai har karbala ke baad. Islam becomes alive after every karbala when there is effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages of Jannah. We can't even imagine what Allah Ta'ala will grant him. So we made mention with regard to the day, the blessings of the day, the history. And because Hussein radiallahu anhu was made shaheed, although I said, and again I will say, that it is not blessed because Hussein radiallahu anhu, but because it happened on this day, we make mention of some of the things. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making amal. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت هذا الجلال والاكرام. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم احفظنا بالاسلام قائمه واحفظنا بالاسلام قائده واحفظنا بالاسلام راقده ولا تشمت بنا عدو ولا حاسد. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.